Wednesday, July 4th, the 164th anniversary of America's independence. And as the holiday is observed on these shores, in Europe the war has taken a grim, strange twist. The British Navy, in seeking to prevent the French fleet from falling into German and Italian hands, has been forced to fight a great naval battle with the French off the African coast in the Western Mediterranean. In London, Vice Admiral Mousselier, commander of the so-called Free French Navy and Air Force cooperating with the British, says no capital ship has fallen into German or Italian hands. Now the news from Berlin.
We have just received the text of the communique of the French government issued at Clermont-Ferrand regarding the naval action off Oran in North Africa. Here's the text. On the morning of July 3rd, an important British naval force, including three ships of the line, arrived from the North Sea and appeared off the Oran naval base. There, according to the armistice conditions, a part of the French Navy, including the battleships Dunkirk and Strasbourg, were anchored. The British Admiral demanded the French commander of the squadron, Rear Admiral Jim Soule, to surrender or to scuttle his ships. The British Admiral gave a six-hour ultimatum. Without waiting for this ultimatum to expire, amphibian planes of the British Navy laid down a magnetic mine barrage that nestled to be them. The French Admiral refused to obey, and the British Navy, at 7:40 p.m., opened fire on the French fleet. In view of this unjustifiable attack, the French communique continues, the French government has given orders to French naval units anchored at Alexandria, next to the British Navy, to proceed to open sea, and if necessary, using force to do so. The French communique adds that since this attack is the more detestable, since it was carried out by our allies of yesterday, the French Admiralty immediately gave orders to all French warships on the high seas to stop British merchant ships and to return fire whenever attacked. Then, the German government has issued an official communique from the Führer's headquarters this morning. It is as follows. After the French armistice delegation had informed the German Armistice Commission concerning the encounter between British and French warships at Oran, the Führer has given permission to the French government to scuttle French ships wherever they cannot escape attacks by the British. This decision corresponds to the content of the armistice agreement. According to that agreement, it is not the intention of the German government to get possession of the French Navy. It is only its intention to prevent the French Navy from taking part in the war against Germany after the armistice. That is the end of the official German communique. And now we have some day-and-day reports about the action itself. This German agency reports that the English fleet appeared off Oran on Wednesday. Consisted of three battleships, one aircraft carrier, three cruisers, and a number of smaller war vessels. After the refusal of the English demands by the French admiral, the English fleet opened fire. The French fleet returned the fire. The battle began about 7 p.m. in the evening. There is no further news regarding the results. Also, French vessels lying in England received the order from their government to break away from English control, using force if necessary. The Armistice Commission has ordered these French ships to go to the Brest, a French naval base on the Atlantic coast. France is building a new government and a new constitution. This is revealed in a story published this morning by the Deutsche Allgemeine Zeitung. According to plans of Marshal Pétain, the French government will have more authority than under the pre-war constitution. And the immediate economic objective of the new government will be the development of French agriculture. This aim will be coupled with a back-to-the-farm movement. According to the information here, a national assembly will be composed of members of the French Chamber of Deputies and the Senate, together with members of the government, will meet soon. This national assembly will work out a new constitution for France. At present, a council of ministers, including Marshal Pétain, Pierre Laval, Undersecretary Alibert, and the ministers of Finance and Interior, are drafting a skeleton of the proposed constitution. And when the members of the National Assembly meet, and some of them are still in the occupied territory, they will be asked to consider these proposals. This is Edwin Hartridge. I return you now to Columbia in New York.
Here is the latest news in the Balkans. The government of Premier Tarascu in Romania resigned this morning. Earlier, King Carol named former Foreign Minister Cigurtu as Chief of Staff of the new National Party. An official announcement is expected soon. At Alexandria, Egypt, 10 Italian warplanes dropped 20 bombs on the British naval base there today. Anti-aircraft batteries went into action against the raiders. Authorities described material damages caused by the bombs as slight. Now the news, direct from the British capital, reported by Eric Severide. Go ahead, London.
This is London. The British public is waiting for more details about the seizure of units of the French fleet in British harbors and the battle at Oran over French warships whose admiral is refusing the British conditions. The communique on the British decision was read to you late last night. This afternoon, a crowded House of Commons will hear Prime Minister Churchill explain what is happening. And a little while ago this morning, the French Vice Admiral Émile Muselier declared that no French capital ship is in German or Italian hands. He said several warships under construction in France were taken from docks and towed to safety. He also said a number of French vessels had rallied to the cause of General de Gaulle and that some submarines are now in British waters. The Vice Admiral expressed the hope that any commander would blow up the ship rather than surrender to the Germans or Italians. The principal vessels of the French Navy, number 180. They include 5 capital ships, 7 large cruisers, 12 medium cruisers, 32 small cruisers, 38 destroyers, 37 escort vessels, 77 submarines, 1 airplane carrier, and 1 seaplane carrier. The personnel of the Navy includes 4,900 naval officers, 17,000 warrant and petty officers, and 65,000 seamen. German bombers carried out their regular raids last night, attacking the eastern counties several times. The communique this morning has only this to say about it. Quote, a few bombs were dropped at random, one building being set on fire, but no casualties have been reported. And this morning, off the southeast coast, anti-aircraft batteries went into action and RAF fighters were in the air. 3 German raiders crossed the coast and passed inland, and 2 heavy explosions were heard. The Royal Air Force, just 10 months after the declaration of war, announced last night that they have brought down the 100th Nazi raider to cross the British coast. The British press today frankly states that the Irish Free State is the weakest link in the defense of these islands. It is feared that British troops in Ulster are too far away to prevent a German landing on the south coast of Ireland. Today it's reported from Dublin that the ports of Kingston, Cork, and Dublin have been placed under military control. Harbor masters will be responsible to the military for the searching of merchant ships and the examination of their crews. From today on, the unemployed of Great Britain can be conscripted to help build defense fortifications. No man out of a job can refuse the work offered him. 80,000 unskilled laborers are registered at labor exchanges. And professional men can also be taken. This is 1/4 of July that won't be celebrated by Americans in the British Isles with minor explosives and lavish banquets. I imagine that while you are listening this morning, the neighbor's children are exploding chain firecrackers which sound like distant Tommy guns. Well, amusement of that sort in London this morning would send civilians down to their shelters, policemen up with pistols, and a celebrating family would go to jail. On this anniversary of America's declaration of independence from British power, Americans over here are not in a rejoicing mood. American societies are putting their celebration money into ambulances for British troops, into help for British children. There will be no banquet this year. The only big gathering of American citizens will be at 8:50 tonight in Euston Station. They will be on their way to Ireland to catch the steamer Washington. 1,600 Americans will sail on that boat back to New York, which, because of the Declaration of Independence, happens to be a neutral and unbombed city. This is Eric Severide in London, returning you to Columbia in New York.
From London to New York, and now back to the Italian capital for the latest news reported by Cecil Brown. Go ahead, Rome.
This is Rome. The Italians claim today to have pushed through the Egyptian desert frontier near Sorghum and reached Musaid. This is the first point in Egyptian territory the high command says has been occupied. In the advance, the war communique reports, a British counterattack of troops and tanks was repulsed. As the Italians advance, fascist planes are reported to have attacked and dispersed British tank concentrations. At the same time, in the blazing sun of the Egyptian-Libyan border, the British are attacking the Italian fortress of Capuzzo. This post is just inside Libya in the Mediterranean. The battle for Capuzzo has been going on for some days, and the communique released an hour ago says another British attack was repulsed. Another Italian submarine has failed to return to its base. This makes the third loss officially announced. Italian native troops are said to have occupied a small English fort at Moyari. At the border of Sudan in North Central Africa, Italian planes bombed enemy forces at Akobo and Garabat. Thus far today, the papers make no mention of English attempts to seize part of the French fleet at Oran, Algeria. If this move is successful, it will greatly boost the British power against the Italian fleet, and it will also increase the hazard of any fascist attempt to break through Gibraltar. The fascist press today brought its attitude toward the Balkans in line with the German press. Previously, the Roman press reported a series of incidents on Romania's frontier with Hungary and Bulgaria. It had Hungary mobilizing and indicated imminent military action. Today, it said all of these reports were falsehoods. The Popolo di Roma, whose dispatches were the most sensational, says this morning that such reports were sent by unnamed persons to convince the Axis that Hungary means to attack Romania. An authorized source stated the Italian government does not share the newspaper alarm about the Balkans. This source also denied reports that Rome might be the scene of a Balkan conflict. This, he said, is no time for that. As the Roman papers see it, the tension in the Balkans does not arise, as you might suppose, from Russia's seizure of part of Romania. They say it is the result of Romania's denunciation of Allied protection. Well, instead of holding a day of joy over this denunciation, yesterday Romania was in mourning for the Russian grab of Bessarabia and Bukovina. The Rome newspaper Messaggero gives a clear indication that the Axis hopes to soften up King Carol. This so that eventually he will cede part of Transylvania to Hungary and part of Dobrudja to Bulgaria. The paper sees in Bucharest a determination to march along the road of the new Europe, that is, with the Axis powers. The signs are, the paper says, that Carol will take a realistic view of the situation. There is increasing talk here in diplomatic circles that the Axis is attempting to frighten England into an armistice before the attack on the British Isles is launched. The papers here emphasize how isolated England is, that Ireland has rejected an offer of British protection, and that British warships cannot come into American ports. The headlines this morning feature German bombers intensifying their attacks on England and say the Italians forced the English to retreat in East Africa. This being Independence Day, many of you will be shooting off fireworks. But over here in Italy, the fireworks are being saved for an African expedition against the British. How soon that will start, no one knows. But many people believe that Italy's first major action will be launched simultaneously with the Nazi attack on England. This afternoon, Ambassador Phillips is giving a garden party at his home, the Villa Taverna, for the Americans. It's an annual affair, but this year the number is reduced to diplomats, journalists, businessmen, and a few people who prefer to watch the daily fireworks in Europe. This is Cecil Brown in Rome, returning you to CBS in New York.
This is New York, and here's a report from the Far East. It is reported that repeated Chinese counterattacks in the Lungshao region are preventing Japanese mechanized units from reaching the Indochina border despite a four-day offensive. And with this news, we conclude this morning report of European developments presented by Columbia each morning at this time and each evening at 6:45 Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Edwin Hartridge reported from Berlin, Eric Severide from London, and Cecil Brown from Rome. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.